Amen. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, why Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ornery creatures like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, when Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow's stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. And high from God's heaven a star's light did fall, and the promise of the ages it then did recall. If Jesus had wanted for any wee thing, a star in the sky or a bird on the wing, or all of God's angels in heaven for to sing, he surely could have had it, for he was the King. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus my Savior could come for to die for poor ornery creatures like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky.
The reading today is from the 8th chapter of Matthew, verses 18 through 27. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Then he got into a boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him."
Amen. Thank you, Wayne. Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? You know, we've been studying and we've been talking about the miracles, some of the miracles that Jesus had done to this point. We've talked about true and false disciples. We've talked about, you know, the two foundations or the wise builders, however you want to look at that, what you build your life upon, whether it's upon the foundation of the gospel and the Christ, or whether it's on the things of this world and the flesh. And now he continues on here We've had examples of people with faith and people who gained faith through the things that Jesus said or did for them or to others around them. And now he's talking about the cost of following him. All of these lessons, you know, from birth until his ministry, and then once he began his ministry, the things he's doing, and the people are beginning to fall in line. They're beginning to get, you know, he's getting attention from the folks, and now they're beginning to say, oh, I want to follow you. I want to go with you, Jesus. I want to go where you go. I want to do what you do. And he says, great, but know this first. Know this first. There's a cost. There is a cost associated with following me. There's a cost associated with being in connection with me. You no longer have a home here on earth. What? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Right? Yeah. Jesus says, I have no home. The birds have a place and the other animals have a place, but I don't have a place to rest my head. I don't have a place here on earth that I call home. Why? Because my home is with the Father in the heavenly kingdom. When we follow him, that should be what we adopt. That should be our way of thinking. That should be, you know, we should stop thinking, this is mine, this is my home. No, it's not. This is only temporary. This is our temporary home. You know, it amazes me at how some people get so caught up in the things of this life, the things of this world. I understand some of you ladies went on a tour last night of some of the homes over in Madison. And that's great. I'm glad you did that. But can you imagine the time and the money that these folks have spent on those homes to beautify them and to put on these Christmas displays? And you know, we have people that's homeless, people that's hungry. And those homes are beautiful. And they may even use part of them. Some of them may not even be lived in. They're just for show. Jesus says, I'm not homeless, but here on earth, you may consider me homeless because this is not my home. My home is in heaven. And these followers then who just said, I want to follow you. You know, this next one says, well, I want to follow you too, but let me go and bury my father. And he gives this strange reply. Let the dead bury the dead. Well, who are the dead? You all know dead men walking and dead women walking. Because there are people that's not in Christ. Only people who are in Christ have life. Everybody else is dead in their trespasses and sins. Just like we used to be before we accepted Christ and were born again. As you're born again, you receive eternal life. But also, you don't get the full understanding just from this short passage. This man's father probably was not dead yet. So what he's saying is he's saying, well, Lord, I want to follow you, but I got these other responsibilities. I need to go take care of my father and my family. But after they're all dead, then I will come and follow you. How many of us at some point in time said, well, you know, I want to follow Jesus, but I gotta get my act together first. Wrong. If you could get your act together, you wouldn't need Christ. How many of us at some point said, well, I want to follow Jesus, but there's this one thing I've been doing that I'm not really ready to give up yet. I want to continue to, it's real fun. I enjoy it a lot. If it weren't for that, I'd be right there, Jesus. I'd be right with you. But I'm just not ready to give up this thing. How many people have tried to accept Jesus and keep that one thing and never really give themselves entirely and totally to Jesus? And that's what Jesus is saying here. No, you follow me. Don't worry about, let the dead bury the dead. Don't worry about your responsibility to your mother and your father. I come first. Don't worry about your responsibility to your children and to your spouse. I come first. How many parents have caused their children to not go and be missionaries when they were called? They were called at some point in a youth rally somewhere or something, a youth camp, and they felt the call. I need to go to Mexico. I need to go to Africa. And the parents, oh no, that's too dangerous. You're not old enough yet. Folks, if God says you're old enough, you're old enough. Okay? Because you go do what God says, he's going to be with you. He's going to protect you. And you know what? I've learned that if somebody's going to die, they're going to die no matter where they're at. If your number's up, it don't matter if you're in Africa or if you're in America. When it's your time, you're going. There will be a way. We can't hold our children so close that nothing happens to them. I'm sorry, that's just not the way it works. It would be nice, but we all know it's not true because we've all seen what happens sometimes. I've known at least three pastors personally who their children have died or were killed in some accident, and their faith was challenged. They had to truly sort out in their heart and their mind if they really believed everything that they said they believed, and if they were really going to live out what they had been teaching. And they all have. They've all figured that God is able to do what God says he can do. And that is, I will see this child again. I will see my loved one again. Because they were in Christ and I'm in Christ. Then he gets this next story where he gets in a boat. Right after this, he gets in a boat and his disciples followed him. And then Jesus says there's a furious storm that came up. Now, I haven't witnessed this yet and I still hopefully may not, but they say in Israel on this lake that these storms come up just like that. There's no warning or very little warning. You get in a boat and you start crossing, all of a sudden, boom, you're hit with this storm. It just happens. And that apparently is what happened here. And the waves, they say that the waves are rough. I mean, and they were in a little dinghy boat, folks. They're not in a big ship. They're in a little dinghy boat, you know, just maybe a 10 or 12, 15 footer. And they're sitting in there and then they're rowing. And here comes these big waves. And the water is really rough and it's splashing up inside the boat. You know, they may have been hoping, hey, maybe a few fish will come in too, right? But we're not told whether that happened or not, whether the fish jumped in the boat. But the water did. The water is just really rough, and the waves are coming up in the boat, and it's starting to fill up. And, you know, they didn't have a battery with a pump. You know, it's kind of like they're bailing out with hands, and they're getting afraid that they're going to sink. And so Jesus was comfortably asleep while this is going on. Now, that could mean one of two things, or both. And that is, first of all, he was tired. I mean, he'd been doing all these teachings and all these miracles. He had the power going out from him. And so here he is, tired. And this is the moment that he gets to rest, when they're crossing the water away from all the crowds. This is the only time Jesus gets to rest. So here he is asleep, and he's not the least bit worried about this storm. Okay? But the disciples, they're scared to death, literally. They're afraid they're going to die. And so they cry out to Jesus, "We're going to drown. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. We're all going to die." And Jesus looks at him and shakes his head. "Where's your faith?" And he looks and says, "Be still." Whoosh. Storms gone. Waves gone. Smooth sailing. Now, does this mean that every time we're going through a rough patch in life, we can cry out to Jesus and he will make the storm go away? No, that's not what this means. But it does demonstrate that Jesus was God, that he had power over nature, that he had power over the weather, he had power over the waves, over the water. Jesus is God. That's what this lesson shows us. And that's the reason why the disciples all of a sudden looking at him like, "Man, I don't know you. What kind of man are you?" Well, he's not just a man. That's the implication. He's not just a man. He is God in the flesh. Now, even though sometimes when we're going through a storm, we can cry out to Jesus and he will cause the storm to stop. But more often than not, what Jesus does is he says, "My grace is sufficient for you." And we're told that when we cry out to him, he will give us strength to go through the storm. Why? Because there's a lesson to be learned in the storm. How many times have we had to learn something the hard way? How many of you went to the school of hard knocks besides me? Yeah, how many have knots on your head like I do? From mom and dad and other people who give us life lessons. And that's what it's about, folks. There are teachable moments in our life. And those happen because God loves us. He wants us to learn from these things. When the doctor says, "You've got 3 months to live." Or when the doctor comes in your room and says, "Well, Mitch, I'm sorry, but you know, the other people who have had this all died, or they had a stroke or a heart attack. And you're probably not going to live through this, so if you've got anything to say, say it to your family now. And if you're a person who prays, I recommend you do that." And then the nurse comes in to turn the light out and check on you and says, "Get a good night's rest." And then I talk to God, and this peace comes over me. And I wake up the next morning, and I'm cured. You know what I learned from that? I learned that I can depend on God in all things. He's always there. He's always listening. Did he stop me from going through the storm? No, I still got sick. No, I was still told I was going to die. He did not stop that. But he said, "Trust me." And I did. Because I figured I was going to wake up in heaven and be having a glorious time. But, you know, that wasn't his plan. He still had work for me here. God is good. All the time. Throughout his word. Throughout. From the Old Testament, from the first words in the Bible, in the beginning, God created. Until the last words close out in the book of Revelation. There are so many teachings for us to learn. There are people that I have met through Bible college and through going to visit other churches and things. I met one man in particular who was in his late 80s, and he had the entire Bible memorized. The entire Bible. You could ask him, you could just mention a passage, and he would stop for a second, close his eyes, and then he would quote it, and all around it. And if he missed a word, he'd go back and say, nope, it says this. And we ask him, how in the world can you possibly memorize the entire Bible? He said, it's easy. We're all going, well, yeah, right. We ask him, do you have photographic memory? No, I wish I did. That made it a lot easier. He said, but it's not hard. All you have to do is read it 200-300 times, and you got it. But doesn't that beg the question? Jesus says, follow me. These disciples wanted to follow him, but they had conditions. I'll follow you, but, well, you have to have a comfortable bed for me to live in, Jesus. A comfortable house and a comfortable bed. I need plush carpeting. You know, I need a comfortable pew. If I'm going to follow you and I'm going to go to church and say, I need a very comfortable pew to sit in, and I need it to have my name on it. Because I don't want nobody else sitting there. That's my spot. Lord, I'll follow you, but there's this one thing. You know, I really like smoking my cigarettes. I'm not going to give that up. Lord, I really like smoking my pot. I'm not going to give that up. But I'll still follow you. Really? Lord, I'll follow you, but I can't read your word. I don't have time for that. I can't understand it when I read it. What's the point? Jesus said to me one time when I was reading his word and I was searching for an answer. And I was wanting Jesus to tell me the answer. Lord, just tell me. I need to know right now. Tell me. He said, dig, son, dig. And I was like, what? You want me to get a shovel and dig in the yard? Where at? In my word, dig. In my word. Your answers are there. Now, are we really committed to following Jesus enough to dedicate our time to not just reading, but studying his word, meditating on his word, spending time alone with God every day in prayer, in communication with him? Not just us talking to him, but listening and him talking to us.
Oh, it don't really happen, does it?
Yeah, it really happens. When it does, like him telling me to dig, you'll understand what's going on. Do you hear an audible voice? In your head you do. Nobody else hears it, but you hear it. Because God is just telling you what you need to do. Because we ask. But you have to believe you're going to hear it first before you'll ever hear it. I can tell you how many people have told me, God don't talk to me. Yes, he does. You're just not listening. He speaks to us right through his word, folks. He sometimes speaks to us through circumstances. He sometimes speaks to us through others. But God does speak. Sometimes he speaks through storms. Sometimes he speaks through fires. There's been a big fire in California. You folks familiar with that, right? We've had more storms in the last few years than we've ever had before. We've had a lot going on. Folks, that's God talking. He's saying, hey, I'm here. Wake up. Pay attention. I'm here. And then it gets worse, and he's saying, I'm speaking louder. We miss a lot because we don't pay attention. You know why we're not paying attention? It's because we're so focused on the things of this life, of right here, right now. And it's usually very selfish things. I'm working towards a goal that I want. And we never, ever ask God if it's what he wants for us. Merry Christmas, right? Doesn't this cause you to think a little bit? I hope it does. Because God wants us to live his way, not our way. God is speaking. Are we listening? If you have a need this morning, just mind the Lord and come as we sing. Brother Bob.